Hello and welcome to the Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, Matt.
And I am your co-host, Cliff.
It is podcasting time, which is when we record our podcast.
On an unrelated note, I've just discovered, you know, Windows 10 where you got your this PC junk. You open up, it's got, and it shows you desktop, your documents and all that, and your hard drives and stuff. There's a new folder in there I've never seen before, 3D objects.
That's weird. I guess they've got Paint with Paint 3D in it now.
Yeah, but it seems weird that it's like, here's like a new folder that is outside all the other folders that I'm just going to put in there, even though I want to disable like all of that crap. Can I hide it? Nope.
Well, that was cool. We didn't even get on topic before we got off topic. I like it. It's very efficient.
To be fair, I was on my way to opening up the document that has the outro stuff in it.
So that's very proactive of you.
Hmm.
Well, there you go. Yeah. It's been a week and change.
And another half. Mm.
Honestly, even with that extra time, I haven't really played any video games this week.
I've actually played and completed a video game.
I did a tiny bit of playing The Walking Dead Season 3, The New Frontier, and that's it. I spent a lot of the weekend watching Vine compilations on YouTube.
Does it live up to its name? Is it a frontier and is it new?
It's a new team and the art's taken a big jump forwards, it feels like, which is cool. I don't know how new the frontier is. I have not even finished the first episode.
I mean, isn't a frontier, by its definition, new anyway? Is it a new frontier? Or is it an old new frontier?
I don't know. It's just setting the scene for The Walking Dead Season 4 ATM machine. So yeah, I didn't play much of that. I mostly watched compilations of Vine's RIP Vine, because they're very funny. And yet, weirdly, despite watching no fucking joke, like 6 hours of Vines, I did not at any point in any of those compilations see the flying lawnmower.
Like, really?
One of the most iconic Vines. Really? Not once has it appeared in any of those compilations, which is super weird.
That is kind of weird. I mean, I didn't watch that many Vines anyway. I watched a few of those Griffin ones. I watched a bunch of the Will Sasso Lemon ones because they're the best.
Mm.
And I watched that. There's that family that does a bunch of Vines. What are they even?
Yeah.
I'm assuming they just live in like a gutter somewhere now, because now that Vine shut down, they have nothing to do. No claim to fame.
So
they just
not.
Maybe they're all dead. Probably all dead. That's what the internet does to people.
Yeah. One Vine that I did see a handful of times, and it's one of my favorites, so it was nice every time, was the Who's That Pokemon? It's Pikachu?
I don't know that one. I don't watch Vines, so.
Oh my god, I have found this actually individually wrapped on YouTube, so I'm going to send it to you now because it's the greatest Vine, and I can't move on with my life until you've seen it.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's quickly have a look at this. Ever open a YouTube clip? Right, okay. Gotcha. I imagine that gets old fast.
It's so simple. I love it. There's a 1 hour version on YouTube.
Of course there is. All right. So anyway, games that we've been playing.
Yeah, I played The Walking Dead Season 3 and nothing else. There's games coming out soon, though, so I have been updating my list of games to look out for. And I will tell you right now what the next one is that I think comes out over the weekend. Oh yeah, there's a VR game coming out. Surprise. The Inpatient, which is by the people who did Until Dawn.
Cool.
Which is the horror game that stars Claire the cheerleader. That's in like a week, so I guess I'll play that. And there's nothing else until February.
Hooray!
Yay! What have you been playing?
I played and completed a pretty cool little indie game that I actually got in a pack when I got Prison Architect. But I forgot to mention it at the time. I got Scanner Somber.
Does not ring any bells.
I don't know. It's like a M-R-E on the end. Somber?
Somber.
Yeah. Anyway, so Scanner Somber. Basically, you start the game in a cave, in a tent with some lights on it. And there's nothing in the tent you can actually do, so you have to walk out of the tent. But outside of the tent is pitch black, apart from a little bleeping red light. And you walk up to the little bleeping red light, and then your character picks up a VR headset, puts it on. And then picks up a scanner, and basically you're in the pitch black, and the only way you can navigate is by doing a little LiDAR scanner, and it gives you, like, dots everywhere. And
I'm looking at visuals now. Yeah,
you get, like, a rainbow of dots, so red dots are the stuff closest to you, and blue dots are the further away, and you have to navigate around using that. and it's very pretty when you start doing it, but where it comes really cool is when you start walking around and you get this, the 3D sense of everything. And you start moving backwards and forwards and the dots like change color on the fly. Very cool visuals. Being a game in a cave when you're in the pitch black, of course shit gets creepy. Real creepy. Yep. But it's kind of cool. It only takes like an hour and a half to finish, maybe. It's not a very long game because you can kind of blitz through it. But it's a cool little atmospheric game. And considering I got it in a pack for like $10, awesome.
Now, when you sort of send out your scanner dots, can you only see what you're actively scanning, or does it sort of stay?
So when you hit an object, the dot will stay.
Okay, so you're sort of painting the world and it stays painted.
That's right, yeah. So, and except if you hit water, the dot will be there, but it will slowly fade out and like move with the current of the water. So water becomes a black spot, like a black hole kind of thing. Which is important later on in the game. But basically, you can also look back and see where you've been, because you can see like kind of a ghostly blue, like dark blue, where you've actually, from everything you scan behind you. And you effectively get the... It looks like you're cheating in a video game, because you can look through walls that you haven't scanned yet, and on the other side see where you've been, and other rooms and stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's very, very cool like that.
Yeah, that's cool, because I was going to say, if it was just, you know, you scan it actively at any time, it would be a lot like that game that I kickstarted, the Blind Lady game, which name I can't remember. I should go back and play that.
The Daredevil game.
Yeah, it was in introspection, inversion. I feel like it had an in name. It's probably called, like, Blind Lady game, and I'm completely wrong.
Lady Daredevil game.
Yes, Dead Devless. No, that looks cool. Although I can see that you can actually play it in VR, which I think might be too much.
I would love to play it in VR.
Could be fun.
Absolutely love it. I would think the weird like dots going 3D on you as you turn around would make it a great effect in VR.
Yeah, I know it's a very popular subgenre, but I don't love VR horror.
Well, it's not really... I wouldn't say it's horror. There's a story to it, and it's a bit creepy, but it's not... There's no, like, bullshit jump scaring in it, kind of. There's like
so a couple it's more spoopy than spooky.
I don't want to give away, like, a bunch of shit for it, but there's a couple of sections where you kind of have to be careful what you do, because things can kind of happen. And there's a few things along the way, like, you hear some weird noises and stuff like that, but there's no, like... You know the little girl game? Where you just turn the little girls right there, like little girl doll or whatever, it's about to stab the shit out of you. There's none of that bullshit in it.
What's that? That's called Annabelle, Annalise, I think that game's called.
Little bitch Anna, about to stab your shit.
Yeah, Anna bitch.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of moments like that, but that's not what the game mostly is. It's kind of more of an exploratory game. And as you walk through certain sections, you get like a... There's no voice acting for it, but you get kind of a little internal monologue going on the screen, and that gives you an idea of the story. And as you progress further, you get more and more of the story. I kind of picked what the ending was going to be beforehand, and then afterwards, once I'd completed the game, I thought I'm immediately going to have to go on the internet and look up the ending, just to see what people are saying about it, because it is kind of some stuff happens and it's kind of interesting and cool. But I don't want to give it away, but I definitely, it was one of those ones where I'm like, shit, I have to see what people are talking about this ending, because it's pretty interesting. So,
nice.
Yeah, I watched that, or played that, and that was very good. I played it in just one sitting, just blitzed through it late one night, and yeah, had a lot of fun playing it.
Cool. That's interesting. I see that it's pretty cheap on Steam. I might check that out next week when I will be temporarily getting my hands on some new hardware that would actually be able to run something that's been made in the last 3 years.
Do it. I was going to say something else as well. Gone back into PUBG a bit more, because I hadn't played it for probably about a month. I haven't actually played it properly in its 1.0 version until now, just from Christmas and all kinds of hockey started up again, so I'm now preseason hockey 3 times a week, which has been annoying, which is part of the reason why the podcast is on time plus definitely a few days this week.
On time plus.
Yeah, exactly. So a dynamic podcast release schedule.
Yeah. I think we might need to look at actually shifting when we release the podcast.
Yeah.
Considering the changing schedules with me moving.
You moving to Melbourne really has thrown us for a loop. We haven't really gotten to a rhythm since then.
It's definitely my fault.
It's totally your fault, 100%. But I went back into that, and so there's actually some new crates and stuff and new items you can get in the game.
Hmm.
And I picked up an item, and I wish that they didn't put a thing where, like, for a week you can't sell stuff, because it's worth like $90 US, and I want to sell it so bad. And
that's pretty cool.
Lots of games that I can buy. So there's that, and I want to sell that as fast as possible. So Saturday night at like 1 a.m, I'm going to be on my PC, and I'm going to be selling that shit so fast, for as much as I can possibly get.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that seems like a good source of income. Because it seems like cryptocurrency is not a good source of income at the moment.
Boy, is it tanked hard today. But
It's
panic selling is what it is, but it'll be fine.
I don't super closely follow crypto stuff. I mainly hear about it because my housemate / cousin does do some crypto mining to get a little bit of extra cash on the side. But it is kind of concerning that the top rated and sort of top commented post on the crypto Reddit right now is links to the suicide hotlines, which that's some heavy shit.
It's something like $260 billion wiped out overnight.
Yeah, $260 billion US.
Yeah. So it's serious amounts of money, but it will bounce back. It's already started to bounce back and hold. So stuff is already like okay-ish. Just if you are in cryptocurrency, don't panic. It's fine. Just hold your shit and just give it a couple of weeks and you'll be fine. Apparently all crypto has done this every like January-ish anyway for the last few years. So it's something that's kind of known. And there's a few things that have happened that have caused some dips in December as well. It's fine. Just let it settle down and you'll be all good.
Yeah. Although I was thinking if it dipped enough, maybe I'd just drop a couple bucks, so when it does bounce back,
If I had like $1,000 to spare, I would dump a bunch of money into it right now. I would have done it earlier today, actually, and already made money on it.
I did have someone on my Facebook feed, sort of a, you know, not a friend, but an acquaintance, who dropped, I'm assuming, a decent chunk of change on Ether,
Ethereum, yeah.
Right before it spiked, and made 12 grand overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. But yeah, this kind of stuff always reminds me of the story of back in 2010 when a guy used Bitcoin to buy two pizzas and he spent 10,000 Bitcoin on his two pizzas because it was worth cents at the time.
Mm-hmm.
If he still had that when it was sort of at its high in November last year, it would have been worth at least 100 million US.
Yep.
If he'd just held off on those munchies on that one day, he could have been buying, like, multiple houses. Oh, cryptocurrency.
Yep, it's volatile. It's fun. It's volatile. Don't just go blindly in.
Yeah. So, that's that.
I'm still good, by the way. I'm not in the hole from it. I'm still on a profit from it, so.
That's good. I was going to say, is the podcast late? Not actually because of sport, but because you were crying.
No, I'm still good. Like, I could withdraw now and I'd have a lot more money than what I put in, so.
Okay, so you're only doing your, like, standard allotted weekly crying.
No, this is perfectly normal. I'm okay. I don't freak out about shit like this.
Standard allotted crying time is normal.
I mean, I don't cry about this shit. I don't cry about anything, really, because I don't freak out about stuff. So.
Tut, tut. I actually got invited to join a sports team on the weekend. Which was hilarious.
What do you count as a sports team?
Rugby.
I would actually pay money to see you play rugby.
I know. It was purely based on my body type.
I was going to say, you've got a build for rugby.
Yeah.
But I would love to see you actually attempt, like...
I'm a big, tough boy, Cliff.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Okay, if that's what you want to go with, then that's fine.
I'm a big, tough boy, and I could knock other big, tough boys over. I used to do it. I used to do martial arts. I can throw a dude in, you know, like a violence way.
Would pay money to see it.
Yeah. Also, it was for Melbourne's gay rugby league. So, I don't know what difference that makes. There's still some pretty aggressive queers out there. So
I mean, I've watched rugby where a bunch of dudes that are oiled up and stuff, then in tiny shorts and muscle shirts, like, wrestle each other.
I'm sorry, are we talking about your browsing history or mine?
No, this is just, this is rugby. Same with AFL. Oh. It's the same thing. Bunch of oiled up dudes in tiny shorts wrestling each other.
That's...
fighting over balls.
I worry about you sometimes.
I've just described rugby and footy.
As a side note to this completely related to gaming and pop culture topic, I had to laugh because the reason I was invited to join the Melbourne Chargers is the name of the team. Is that there was a big LGBT festival picnic thing here, the Midsummer Carnival, and they had a whole arena of the sports teams. There are a lot of gay sports teams, which is weird, but I had to laugh because how angry do you think most of the sport leagues were that the bowling league team were the ones who got to call themselves the 69ers?
Well, I mean, you get in first and you get to name yourself whatever you want.
Exactly. And they called dibs. And it's not even like a bowling thing. The 710ers, maybe, but not the 69ers. But they took the name and no one else could have it.
You snooze, you lose. So if you want to, have a laugh at a 15-year-old's like teenage boy's joke, then you got to get in first.
There are two numbers that will never stop being funny. It is the sex number, 69, and the weed number, 420.
Don't get me wrong, I still laugh at them, but it is totally a 15-year-old teenage boy joke.
Oh, definitely. Hmm. I didn't take too close a look, but I'm assuming that one of the lesbian teams were called the Carpetbaggers. So,
anyway. If you don't, you're missing out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Ruggers. Okay, so moving on. Shall we talk about some video game and pop culture news?
Before we move on too far, let's talk about an old SBS show called Eat Carpet. Did you ever see Eat Carpet?
No.
It was like an experimental kind of like student film show. So they'd show like a whole bunch of like weird student film stuff like ages ago. Yeah. Hmm. There's some weird shit on there, as you would expect.
Yeah, no fucking shit.
With a funny name. Woohoo. Anyway, now moving on.
Yeah. Moving on.
Hit me with some news.
Let's give some news. Okay, well, I'll start with the meatiest news story. So all last week, the internet was fucking losing its shit because Nintendo wouldn't announce a Nintendo Direct, which I think it was based plainly on sort of the standardized gap between directs and the fact that there's always one in early January, and the Nintendo Twitters were teasing. They kept posting weird shit, just like egging people on, and you know, it hit middle of the week. Normally they'd have announced it at the start of the week, apparently. And it didn't happen. And then they just dropped a mini Nintendo Direct out of nowhere. And people lost their minds because that's what Nintendo fans are like.
They're fanboys. And massive fanboys. So yeah, they go crazy for shit like that.
Yeah. And I think Nintendo are really pushing the line as well.
Oh yeah. They companies like that have fan bases like Nintendo, like Apple and stuff as well, they know how to play it. They play their customer base so hard.
Oh, yeah. They posted, the one I did see was the Nintendo of America Twitter posted a picture of Chibi Robo, which is one of those kind of low-key hits that people love, but they just don't make games for. They made one a year ago, and it was terrible. It's like a side-scrolling platformer. It was so bad. I hated it because the level progression... Actually, I might have even talked about it on the show. You didn't progress level 1, 2, 3. At the end of a level, you spun a thing to see how many slots forwards you'd move in the level circle.
Oh, sweet, cool. So it was like playing Crisis Core. Gotcha. Completely random progression.
And then sometimes you'd end up repeating the same levels over and over again, and you couldn't move on to the next world until you'd completed each level at least once. So you'd just have to repeat levels over and over and over again and hope the spinner landed on the right thing.
And because people like to get behind dumb shit, I'm sure the fan base of this game is rabid for it.
Oh, I think it got panned pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, but there's always, there's that group that are like, this game is the best. Group. Yeah.
It wasn't 100% negative, but it definitely wasn't majority positive. But because they posted a picture of Chibi Robo on fire, which I think was a new piece of art on top of everything else, people were like, but they didn't announce a Chibi Robo game. Of course they didn't, because Chibi Robo is shit. They did announce a bunch of interesting stuff, though. And it was only like a 15-minute video, I think. So it was one of these kind of rapid-fire videos, which honestly I kind of prefer. Because as cute as seeing like Japanese businessmen do goofy shit is, it's so slow normally. So I didn't note down everything that was in there because some of it I didn't care about. But they had... One that's interesting for me is a 3DS remaster... Oh, sorry, a remaster of the DS game, The World Ends With You, which is by the Square Enix team, which is like a cult classic. I never liked it because it was one of those games from early DS that relied heavily on touch controls.
Oh, of course,
and
yeah.
It was from the early days when they hadn't really figured out how to properly budget player attention between the top and bottom screens. So you're having to do a lot of stuff at the same time, sort of drawing with your left hand, or sorry, right hand, because everyone else is right-handed, and doing things with your left hand at the same time, which is not very conducive. So it's being remastered and ported to Switch, which means they'll have to rework all the control schemes, and they've updated the art, and it looks pretty good. So I think that's coming in like May or something. So I look forward to actually being able to give that game a try,
which is
good. There were two separate and distinct Donkey Kong announcements, which is 1,000,000% more Donkey Kong than I'm used to hearing about. Firstly, he's going to be the DLC character for Mario and Rabbids, which I was really hoping for a Wario Waluigi team. And
I feel like Nintendo have got this great... We've probably touched on this before in a bunch of different ways. They've got a great B team.
Oh, yeah.
A great range of B team, like a huge B team, and they just don't use them.
No. And it also seems weird because they haven't announced Donkey Kong and Rabid Donkey Kong. They've just announced DK. So I don't know if that means they're sort of holding back on announcing the other half, but not having a Rabid version of the DLC character seems like an odd choice.
Yeah, it kind of goes against like that whole game, because everyone's got a counterpart. Yeah.
Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Yoshi all have their Rabid counterparts who are caricatures of them, basically.
Like shitty cosplayers, like Rabid cosplayers, yeah, which makes it very entertaining.
Yes, also Rabid Peach has her own Instagram account. That's real. That's a thing.
As much as I like ragging on Nintendo, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's actually made some pretty weird content. Donkey Kong will be coming to Mario and Rabbids. And also, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is getting ported to the Switch. Which is nice, because I never played that, because it was a Wii U game. And
heaven forbid they should make an original game.
Exactly. But no one bought Tropical Freeze, so at least it gives me a chance to try it.
What did it originally come out on?
Wii U.
Yeah, that's why no one got it, because no one had them, because it was junk.
It was a garbo console.
Yeah.
They also announced DLC for Mario Odyssey, which will add Luigi to the game, but not as a playable character. He's this weird balloon hunt mode, so whatever. But also new costumes. You can dress Mario up like a little knight. Which is cool.
It's also a lost opportunity to... They should just put every one of the Mario characters into that game. Like, Wario, Waluigi, like, all of them should have been in there at one point or another. Missed opportunity.
I'd like to play as Luigi, but having him in there at all is nice, because he was just mysteriously absent from the game before this. Entirely, which was weird.
Yeah.
I can understand not making him playable, because then you'd potentially have to redo every single costume in a Luigi version.
You wouldn't have to, though. You can't equip it while you're using Luigi.
Or at least give Luigi a couple costumes, because the dressing up was half the fun.
Oh, yeah, but don't tell me that they don't have, like, a whole swath of artists that they can't just, like, throw. But, like, make us 50, like, Luigi outfits, go. And, like, 2 days later, they'll have 4,000 of them.
Oh, no doubt. So Luigi's coming to Mario Odyssey. There's a Mario Tennis game coming with a story mode for the first time in 1,000,000 years. I don't really care about Mario Tennis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be fun. Like, it looks kind of like it could be fun. Looks like there's a bunch of mini games in there, which is going to, like, that's kind of what I want from Nintendo. I just want, like, a bunch of fun mini games that you can mess about with. WarioWare, come on, let's go. But I mean, like, saying it's got, like, a full-on story mode, I feel like they're just, like, trying to justify, like, a tennis minigame game.
I mean, it could be interesting. It looks very good. I did enjoy Mario 3DS Tennis. But I can live without it.
I mean, here we go. Bowser has stolen female tennis world champion, Mushroom Kingdom world champion, Peach, just after her like red hot Mario Wimbledon crown, and now Mario has to play tennis against various levels of Bowser underlings to win her back in a final game of tennis with Bowser. Scintillating stuff.
Sorry, Mario, your princess is in another tennis court.
Exactly. You're on court 32. You gotta make your way up to like center court.
Yeah.
Up in there, otherwise you can't just win her back on like some backwater court.
Yeah. This is the point where we'd make a relevant Australian Open tennis joke if...
Oh yeah, that's going, isn't it?
Yeah, if any of us cared. Yeah. Fun fact, the Australian Open tennis venue was right next to the Midsummer Festival location. That was a very different confluence of crowds, which is always funny. It's like having Adelaide Fringe and the Eclipse all going on at the same time. Very different groups of people.
Well, except that like Eclipse would be more bogan-y. Like, I want to fight those people.
I'm not saying Australian Open tennis viewers, participants, whatever's, I feel like bogans. I'm just saying there is that same degree of separation.
I mean, surely there were some people dressed up as very skimpily dressed tennis players there, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And there were some mask lesbians. So, you know, there's some crossover, but not a lot.
Lesbians or tennis players? Or both?
They also had a giant sign that was sort of perspex fronted and full of tennis balls. And I really just wanted to smash it to make all the tennis balls fall out. I hope someone does.
There's got to be a joke in there about balls.
There's always a joke about balls. Yeah. But moving on, the last couple of things about the Nintendo Direct were pretty weird. Firstly, unsurprisingly, they're re-releasing Hyrule Warriors for Switch. It's already come out on Wii U and 3DS. They're not adding any new content as far as I could see, except for the new content that was already added to the 3DS version, such as Female Link. Yeah, so cool, I guess. But more interestingly, two just games...
Stop putting money and resources into porting a bunch of games and make some new shit.
At least announce some new shit so we know it's coming. They did announce a date for the new Kirby game, which is coming out in March, May? An M month.
But isn't that a port too?
No, that's a new game.
Oh, okay, it's a new game. All right, I'll allow it.
You can recruit enemies to become your friends to play together. And also combine Kirby's different powers for new combinations, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
Also being sort of brought out on Switch, Payday 2. All right.
I don't even rate that as a decent enough game in the first place. I got tired of mowing down literally thousands of police officers and having more of them run at me. Yeah, I found that kind of boring. But yeah, so yay, I guess, catching up to 5 years ago.
There'll be a new PC person in it who is like a hacking specialist with a cool LED mask, I guess. More interestingly, announced for later this year on the Nintendo Switch, the portable and home console system for friends and family alike, Dark Souls. I did not expect to have that one. But that's the thing. They're doing a remastered version that's also being released on PS4 and Xbox One and PC, I assume. I don't know if about PC, actually. But it's being remastered and also brought onto the Switch.
I feel like... So, you know, we all know how much I hate Nintendo and its, like, library of porting games trying to sell the Switch. This one is, I guess, at least justified because they're remastering it for the other consoles as well. So it's releasing all of them at once. So I'll allow this one. But the rest of them could all go and fuck off.
I want to see what weird Nintendo tie-in content they add into the game. Like, they added Link's outfit and the Master Sword to Skyrim. So how are they going to slot some Nintendo flavor into Dark Souls?
I kind of hope they don't. I hope the Dark Souls guys are like, yeah, nah. This is Dark Souls.
I mean, if they make dark Nintendo content, that would be hilarious.
Oh, good luck getting that past Nintendo, though.
Yeah, I know. So that was the Nintendo Direct.
Everything has to be children happy mode in Nintendo land. Because apparently adults that play video games don't exist. And parental controls aren't a thing on their console.
Actually, parental controls are pretty solid on the Switch.
And that's what's bullshit about it. You can have adult content on the Switch because you've got the parental controls on there.
Mm. Yeah, so that's a Nintendo Direct. Also, after that, they announced Detective Pikachu is coming out for 3DS in English-speaking areas, which is the game where Pikachu can talk and talks in a gruff detective voice and you solve Pokemon crimes. I will buy it. Also, it has an amiibo coming out with it that is Detective Pikachu, who's like twice the size of a normal amiibo for no good goddamn reason. To the point where the amiibo in the diagrams they've shown dwarfs the bottom screen of the 3DS. It's fucking huge.
All right.
I don't know why, but there you go. Because the Pikachu's not any bigger in the game. It's just Pikachu-sized, but for some reason you need a giant amiibo. I guess they had lots of plastic left over.
Is it a separate to a normal amiibo, or is it just that's the amiibo for it?
It's just the amiibo for it.
All right, okay.
Just fucking
big. I won't accuse them of being money-grabbing bastards by releasing a separate one that's just bigger.
I don't know. It's weird. But that's all the Nintendo news I have. Do you want to talk more video games or entertainment media?
Let's get entertainment media first, then we'll... Actually, let's go video games. We're already on video games, so...
Oh, okay. I only have two things. One, as of today, I found out that one of our favourite games is officially available in Australia.
Oh, yeah. I saw this today as well.
Genital Jousting.
It ain't going to be available for long because it hasn't gone through the process of being certified.
Yeah. So grab it while you can. That game is weird.
Yep.
Do you want to be a giant wobbly dick that has sex with other wobbly dicks? Then this is the game for you. Or don't. It's That's good. Another option.
I'm going to use my descriptive words carefully here. It's good squelchy fun.
Oh, I don't like that.
Because the sound effects are the most disturbing part of the whole game. Not that your dick's fucking other dicks. That I got no problem with that. It's the squelchy sounds that make it the grossest.
Yeah, you know what? For the full experience, put on headphones, turn your volume up to max, and just go buck wild on yourself.
For like 3 seconds, and then take those headphones off, because you'll be grossed out.
You'll be done.
Yep.
So yeah, that's happened. Also, it's not much, but we had the first peep from CD Projekt Red about Cyberpunk 2077 in 4 years, in that the Cyberpunk 2077 Twitter account tweeted the word beep. And that's the first thing it's done in 4 years.
Cool. I guess we'll be waiting for some more stuff, because I'm sure they've got a plan for what that beep means.
Oh, yeah. Rumor is that at E3 2018, they'll release a trailer and have behind-the-scenes sort of hands-on gameplay, or hands-off, maybe. But, yeah, as news goes, it's pretty thin, so it was fun watching Atlas try and stretch it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's all the video game news I have.
Sweet. All right, what you got in entertainment news for me?
Couple things. Do you want to do Marvel or DC?
Let's go DC, and then we'll finish with actual news.
Good, because that's really short. Apparently, the Spider-Man Homecoming writers are going to direct the Flash movie.
Cool.
Which means it might actually have some humor in it, might be enjoyable, and considering the... scuttlebutt is that the Flash movie will be Flashpoint and allow them to reset their kind of shitty DC cinematic universe. That could be a good starting point for a new suite of DC movies that are less terrible.
It won't help at all unless they get themselves a Kevin Feige.
Yeah, they need someone pulling all the strings at the same time. Yep,
and telling them, like, going like, this is what we're doing. Like, sitting with a room of, like, you know, writers and going, this is what the overall thing is going to be. And this is how it's going to be paced out, and this is what the general idea for each of the movies is going to be, and then handing it over to the writers and going, this is what you need to achieve in your movie, and then overseeing it like that. That needs to happen in the DC Universe, otherwise just, yeah, keep churning out mediocre movies. They're not bad movies in a way. They're just not... They don't get me super excited about stuff. I'm just like, yeah, I'll go see it.
Yeah, and Justice League had moments, but it was only because of The Flash.
I was pleasantly surprised with Justice League because I thought it was going to be woeful, and it was all right.
Yeah.
It was perfectly fine as a movie.
It was serviceable.
Yeah.
There's also suggestions that Batfleck will be out and possibly replaced by Jake Gyllenhaal, who I cannot picture as Batman.
Yeah, I don't see him as a Batman type character. Oh, I mean, whatever.
I didn't like really I said, see Ben Affleck as it either.
But I'm setting my bar low because they're just too fragmented.
Yeah.
Oh, and when you're saying about humor, I've been disillusioned now. Humor appropriate, not forced humor, please. Don't just tell us jokes for the sake of telling a joke. Like, please make it fit in the movie.
Make it funny like Thor Ragnarok.
Yes, and not like Star Wars funny.
I'm jumping forwards a little bit, but apparently Taika Waititi and Chris Hemsworth spent New Year's together talking about Thor 4.
Apparently they've been talking to Feige about it as well, and Feige's basically just like, wait until we've done finished Phase 3, and then we can worry about Phase 4, which is fair enough.
Just let them do what they want. I want more Taika content.
I guess they got to... I'm assuming Feige's keeping it pretty close to his chest about what's happening with Phase 4, so I'm assuming that's probably why he's just like, just wait.
Yeah.
And before they announce it. Because after Thor's number contract two, is up
after Infinity.
Yeah, like he's filmed all of his, apart from reshoots and stuff, he's filmed all of his Thor stuff.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that's the same with all of them now, or most of them now.
Yeah, most contract. Of them coming up.
Yeah.
Which either they'll bring him back for more, or maybe we'll get Jane Foster Thor. That could be cool. They'd have to recast Natalie Portman.
They could just—they wouldn't even necessarily be Jane Foster. They could just bring in another character to be Foster without being Foster.
For standard audiences, you wouldn't need to know it's Jane Foster, and it's not like they haven't played with the continuity before either.
Still, I'd rather him not use Jane Foster. I would much rather him get Kat Dennings as Lady Thor. That shit would be awesome.
Look,
Mew Mew.
That would be
amazing, weird, right? Yeah.
Actually, another piece of Thor-related news.
How we've just discarded DC, and we're just
we're done with DC. The Marvel
train. Yeah.
I didn't really have anything good or funny to say to get us off of Jake Gyllenhaal as Batman. So, broke Bat Mountain. Ha 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 ha. Okay, let's talk about Marvel.
It's funny because wait, Heath Ledger, Batman, fuck the Joker.
Yeah. Okay.
Let that sink in.
Just like he did. Thor Ragnarok's version of Valkyrie is being introduced into the comics. There is a version of Valkyrie that's already out there. She's basically a female Thor in that she's a blonde, big woman who...
I mean, your classic, like, Nordic, like, Asgardian, Amazonian-style lady.
Yeah, she was basically a gender-flipped Thor.
Yeah.
Who he was in love with at one point, because, of course, she had, like, the weird circle things on the front of her costume and all that, so she was literally just a female Thor. But they're bringing in a version of the cinematic universe's Valkyrie. She's a bit bulkier. She's kind of based on the concept art for what Tessa Thompson ended up playing. And much like the scenes that were discarded from Ragnarok, she'll be canonically bisexual. And a big damn hero as part of a multi-dimensional traveling crew that are basically sliders but Avengers. Also, like a tiny cartoon baby Wolverine will be on the team.
So, I did see that. I saw the picture and it was her in like normal comic art. And then I'm like, why is there like a chibi like Wolverine there?
He's from the Marvel Babies universe or something. But that's cool because I liked her version and like the badass, like, super burly Valkyrie looks fucking awesome. Maybe she could be the new Thor. Tessa Thompson as Thor?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'd play that. Other Marvel stuff. What do we have? Infinity War, apparently there'll be at least one scene where there are 40 super people on screen, which is a lot.
Which means there'll be no Hawkeye or no Black Widow. Or any of the other humans.
The super comes from inside you, not from your powers. That's
boring.
Unless they're introducing a lot of new and upcoming heroes to kind of go into Phase 4, it means they're going to have to bring in some of the other sort of edge properties. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Netflix series, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, all that, which is kind of expected because New York. But they could also pull in characters from Runaways or Cloak and Dagger. Kind of tipping towards that. They could bring in characters from the extended Spider-Man properties because like the Venom film is coming as played by Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock, which also had a still released showing some notes on his journalist notepad, which suggests who the villains are going to be. The Something Foundation, because it's always a foundation. Not the Future Foundation, a different foundation. It's not the Fantastic Four who are the bad guys.
See, I think when it comes to that, I'm not so sure they're going to be pulling in all the TV properties. I think they're just going to be pulling in just like those extra like fringe movie characters that were there. And they're like, oh yeah, that's a person. So you'll see like a bunch of like background Doctor Strange characters. And you see a bunch of background. I mean, the Guardians are, there's already a suite of them. So you just bring all them in.
Yeah.
And so you bring in a bunch of like the anti-heroes and stuff that are on already in the movies and around. Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of cool to see Gwyneth Paltrow like all like extremist
rescued up. Rescued
up. But yeah. I you know, probably won't see that because reportedly she's a nightmare.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, didn't she tell people to, slight digression, with all her like, you know, random bullshit health tips of the week, wasn't she the one that
you mean about, the excellent health website Goop?
Didn't she come up with the wasp nest like business?
I don't know, but early January she did promote the use of coffee enemas.
Yes, she did. I mean, that's been around for ages, though, that crap in America.
But apparently, like, every January she starts pushing some insane new thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know what her Christmases are like, but she needs to recover.
Yeah, she's another.
Yeah, she's a nightmare.
But she's Pepper Potts, so we kind of have to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I hope it means they're going to use this as an opportunity to kind of lay some groundwork for future Marvel heroes. Because, yeah, with everyone's contracts finishing, we're pretty much going to have to bring in new characters.
Well, I mean, the Infinity War trailer shows a bunch of Wakanda, so we've got a bunch, like a chunk of Wakandans as well that can jump into the 40-man squad.
Yeah, I mean, if you're counting Shuri and the White Foxes and stuff as superheroes, then that's kind of unfairly padding the numbers.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not that far else also padding numbers with, like, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. people. I mean, that's padding numbers as well pretty bad.
At least some of them have superpowers. Yeah. We'll see in however many months. There was also a still released of Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is in July.
Mm-hmm.
Her costume looks wicked.
Yeah, she looks great. Can't wait for it.
Very muted colors in the still, though, because I know they kind of soup up the colors for the moving film. I just wish they'd get more comfortable with, like, intense colors. Like, Spider-Man proved that it's doable and it looks fucking awesome. Just give me bright colored spandex heroes. That's what we're all there for. They did that stupid alternate ending to the Wolverine where he got the costume that was the blue and yellow with the dumb hat, and they didn't use that ending and they never referenced it again. Give me my X-Men in dumb costumes. Also, the New Mutants film got delayed by like a year.
Oh, okay.
Which is the one that was set in a mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So the only hint of that is there was a song that was a tie-in to the movie or was going to be in the movie soundtrack. And they released the music video for that, which shows a bunch of the New Mutants, like Magic and Warlock and a couple of others. Cannonball, Sam Guthrie. And they sort of show off their powers in a really basic way because it's a music video. But they're all in like the classic kind of X uniforms, which is kind of cute. But yeah, that and oh yeah, one last thing, which is just a nice little fact to know. Pre-sale for tickets to Black Panther have been the best of any movie in the entire run of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is nice because it means that there are people out there of, you know, African-American descent or African descent who are finally getting the movie that they want, and they're coming out in droves to support it.
Hopefully it doesn't suck.
I don't think it's gonna. I feel like it's getting very strong vibes of being a good film.
Well, I've been lied to before with trailers.
That's true.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's been really nice seeing things like, you know, GoFundMe campaigns to buy entire, you know, middle schools of inner city kids or whatever tickets to go see this movie, to see them represented on screen. I mean,
it's effectively,
gives me warm fuzzies.
It's the Wonder Woman, like, you know, thing exactly. All over again, basically, yeah.
Yeah. Which is awesome because representation and diversity and equality, they're all good things and people should stop bitching about them because shut the fuck up, basically. I'm sick of reasoning about it. I just
hope it doesn't suck.
I don't think it will. With a soundtrack as competent as this, a director, costumers.
So when it comes to the soundtrack, I'm not a huge like rap and R&B fan. So the soundtrack to me is just like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a soundtrack. but
it's got style, if nothing else.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that particular style doesn't really do much for me. Like a few tracks there do, but like the soundtrack is not what's drawing me in. So I'd just be like, yeah, cool, the soundtrack, yeah, it'll be sound, it'll be, you know, I'm sure it's good examples of its type. But yeah, for me, it's the visual style. I want to see what it looks visually.
The aesthetic looks pretty good from everything I've seen so far.
Plus, I loved Black Panther was great in Civil War. Like he was great, so I'm interested to see how it goes. And I like Ulysses Klaue as well. I like him; he's funny.
Yeah, what's the actor who's playing Black Panther? Is it not Chiwetel Ejiofor? Is it?
No. That's another guy. But it's that's the British guy that was in all those other movies.
Shit, I need to know what the actor's name is now, because it's gonna bug me otherwise. Black Panther film, the name of the actor playing T'Challa is Chadwick Boseman. Internet. And so many good actors in that film. That's all the news I've got.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Hooray! Hopefully next week I'll have played a video game so we can talk about that.
Yay.
And some more news will have happened so we can talk about that. And maybe even the episode will come out on time by whatever standard we define being on time at that point.
As long as an episode comes out before the next one was supposed to come out, we're all good.
Yeah. You know what? Just going to put it out there, leaving some ironclad rules here. The next episode will come out before the one after it.
I feel like that's a manageable target that we can meet.
That's a schedule we can adhere to, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Until I fuck up and misnumber the episodes one day and we jump a number, in which case we're fucked.
Yeah, but then we'll just do like a cool like Back to the Future thing.
That'll be like a Patreons only special episode that you need to pay to get to see.
That's right. I'll work out the time travel involved with that and I'll set it up. It'll be fine. Mm. Yeah.
Cool. Well, anyway, thanks for listening this week. It is still this week, so I can still say that. This is The Indoorsman. It's the podcast, which is your guide to the great indoors, even though we talked about being outside a lot, which is pretty dumb.
Unfortunately, my outside activities have now increased by a lot. And will until the end of September.
You've had this season. Hot streak of talking about actually playing video games the last couple of weeks, and it's just all going to go by the wayside.
Yeah, that's because I'm compensating for it.
That's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, getting back on topic and closing this thing out. If you like our opening and closing music, it's Fox Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocky W. You know, Bandcamp, we said every week. Google, search Rocco W and or Fox Sidechain Compression on Game Boy and you'll find it.
Do it. You can find us online as well. We have an internet presence. We have a website, which is http://www.indoorsmanpodcast.com. We also have a Facebook page, which is, I'm not going to do the whole thing again. It's Indoorsman Pod, which is also our Twitter, which is also our Instagram, which I have not updated our Instagram in about 3 weeks because I keep forgetting, because the only thing that has the password still logged in is my phone, and that's just hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Check those out. But don't look too closely at the Instagram because probably there'll be like 4 or 5 covers going up at once in the same day.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Just look at it after they've already all gone up.
Yeah.
And you just assume they come out normally.
I have considered changing the aesthetic of our logo and stuff, but then I realized it would break the awesome flow of our gallery.
That's fine.
Which bums me out. But yeah, check those things out. Come talk to us. Say hi. Complain about how we released our episode late.
If you want to talk to us or let us know any of that junk, you can get to us on Twitter, so myself @CliffandMonkey and Matt @Ponk, or you can email us at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com to bitch and moan at us. So you can happily ignore it.
Check out my Twitter feed and you can see like the varying tones of content that I post that accidentally people at work saw. So that was cool. We'd also like it if you could subscribe, review, rate the show, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, there's a bunch of other ones that I think just work automatically. I don't actually know. If there's a medium that you prefer for your podcasts and getting to it at the moment is a hassle, tell us what your preferred source is and we'll see about getting into that. we're all about making your life easier. No, we're not. We're not really.
But for now, he's been Matt.
And he has been Cliff. And by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying... I'm just going to do the same joke again. More like Broke Bat Mountain.
Alright, I'm going to have to leave after that. Once was enough, twice is... Nah.
I wish I knew how to Mr. Freeze you. That's not even good.
No, that's not anything.